111, please. Psalm 111. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Psalm 111. I want to talk to you about the excellence and the excitement of knowing the true God. Excitement of knowing the true God. And we're beginning at reading at Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him, and will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding hath all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. May God have the blessing of the word of God as he always does. You may be seated. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, look at this portion of scripture and be so excited about all the things you've given us. You are an amazing God. And how exciting it is to look at the Word of God and to see your truth in it. Father, there are so many people out there who want to destroy your truth. So many people out there want to destroy your commandments and destroy your scriptures that you teach us. Dear God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promised us that that's one thing will not fail, and that's the Word of God. You can't burn it. You can't drown it. You can't throw it away. It just keeps coming back. Your word does not return void. And we are so thankful for that. Now, Lord, bless this service tonight. Thank you for our folks that are here tonight. May have a good time. And, Lord, would you help us to look into our hearts and our souls that we may live closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 111 is called the Hallelujah Psalm. Psalm 111 is also an alphabetical psalm. And it is also called the twin psalm to Psalm 112. And both psalms begin with hallelujah. Both are alphabetical, and both consist of 20 lines and arranged in 10 verses. Psalm 111 sets forth the greatness and the mercy and the righteousness of God. Psalm 112 is concerned with the reflection of these in happiness and benefits and righteousness of God's servants. And two together seem to have intent to form the introduction to Hallel, which is a chant or sung in the Passover, at Pentecost, and at the Feast of the Tabernacles, which consists of Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. When reading Psalm 111, 1 through 10, you see the work of God, as well as you see the wisdom of men, who love the Lord God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind. There's just something about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. It changes your whole attitude about life. It puts you in a frame of mind to say, you know what, even though these problems come in my life, I know that there's a God in heaven that loves me very much and cares for me, and he will not do something stupid towards me. And he will be very careful how he takes care of me. The Bible says he will not let anything happen to us we cannot withstand or provide a way of an escape. There are many times in our lives that we cannot. We just can't bear it. And so God gives us an escape. Beautiful illustration. Joseph taking care of the affairs in Potiphar's house. His wife comes in And she tempts him, and I'm sure that's not the first time. And she tempts him. He makes one mistake. He went in there alone. It's never right to be in a compromising position with the opposite sex. Never, 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 a million times never. Don't put yourself in the place of that. Don't put yourself in the way of that. Don't get yourself in trouble. Because Satan always sees some way, some fit to place some stupid thing in our lives. Last week, a chaplain, one of the very decorated chaplains in our conference, he was giving an illustration about be careful about how we act and what we do, and how that we need to be very careful about how we approach things. And he was talking about one time, he's a young chaplain. Things weren't going so good at home. Him and his wife were having a battle. And he got called out to a domestic. He went to the house with an officer. The officer talked. And the officer talked to the man, and he talked to the lady. And seemed like they got everything straightened out, didn't have to write a ticket or anything, so they left. 2 hours later, she called him up and says, "Can you come over to my house? I just need to, you just really spoke to my heart. I could just feel that you really have concern, and I've got some questions I'd like to ask you." So he said, "There's a stupid, dumb chaplain. I drove over there in my uniform on, in my police car, and got there." And she said, "Well, my husband is, he's taking a nap. Can I just sit in your car?" And so he said, we sat in the car, and he talked and talked and talked. And he said it wasn't a very warm night. And she said, "You know what? We got a really nice motor home right next to the house here. And if we could just go over there." And he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." He said, "All of a sudden, the red light come on." He said, "How stupid I was. The red light should have come on in the first place, amen." But there are ways of temptresses and tempters. And as we as Christians, we must be very careful that when things come in our lives, we're willing and we're not stupid. My grandsons call it stupid heads. We're not stupid heads to go on with something just because we may feel uncomfortable. I'll tell you what, you go on something, you'll be more than just feeling uncomfortable. You will be uncomfortable and you'll be in trouble. And God puts things in our way. God gives things that happen to us, make us stronger. And unfortunately, the world wants to destroy us. And as you read this scripture, it talks about how that God is with us. And when we want to have God to be all in our heart, and all our mind, and all our soul, there are certain things that we're cautioned about. And we need to be very careful about in our lives, because it just takes one step, just one little step towards compromise, and you'll never get it back. You'll never get it back. What is it is happening before our eyes is a process of merging the thoughts. The psalmist, while under the Holy Spirit's power, has a spell. In other words, he gets excited. He takes a new look at the old book, amen. As he never seen the Word of God before, and the old Southern preacher says, "Man, God got all over him. God got all over him, amen." And he got revived. He got revival. He moved as never before in his life. My friend, it's always true when we get close to God. First of all, it always is true that it brings repentance. When you get close to God, it brings repentance and says, "You know what? You know, I'm not really going the right way I should go. And I love you, God, with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind. And there's some things that really bother me in my heart. And I need to get them right." The psalmist sees the work of God. In verses 5, 6, and 9, it is so evident. The psalmist is shaken at God's might and power. He mulls it over and over and over in his mind. He thinks of those special manifestations of God's divine power by which the people of God were delivered, and may I say, were preserved. I want you to look at the psalmist had to say about this wonderful working God. First of all, the psalmist gives four divine attributes of God's work. In the broad field of nature, he praises God for the creation and the formation of the earth, and its creation. I was just, you can go on the internet and you can look up the Hubble telescope, and they've got some magnificent pictures. I talked to you about a month ago about that. Got some magnificent pictures out there. NASA has some fantastic pictures. You just Google in space, and man, it is there. And it's the most incredible thing to think that you and I cannot even see these things with our human eyes. But they were not made for us. They were made for God. And for God's enjoyment. And God's God made those for himself. And they put that Hubble telescope up in the air and into space and the universe. And all of a sudden they're taking pictures that they thought the black hole, I remember when I was in high school back in the 60s, the black hole was a black hole. There was nothing in there. And they had all kinds of theories about how that you get sucked in the black hole. There's nothing in there. Amazing thing inside the black hole, the Hubble telescope showed some magnificent pictures. There are constellations like our Milky Way. There's millions of them more. And they didn't even know they existed. Thought of everything just got warped into the black hole, and it was done. Amen. A big vacuum, they used to call it. Isn't that amazing? He praises God for the sun and the moon. Incredible thing. The other night, I don't know where I was going or coming. That's normally my life. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I know I'm here because I know I'm not all there. Amen. And all of a sudden, I saw this magnificent glow in the east. And I was going, what in the world is that? All of a sudden, here was the moon. Most amazing. Just, and isn't it amazing how quick it just goes from big to small, amen. And I was amazed by the moon. And being out in the ocean just last week, their charts that they have for the tides that go in, ebb tide and so on, and high tide, and used tide in the dishwasher, amen. But anyway, amazing how that runs, they say it's run by the moon. I don't know if it is or not. I haven't checked it out yet, but they say it is, so they figured it out. So it goes by the moon cycle phase, so it's an amazing thing. It's just an amazing thing how that God has created this magnificent moon. And all it is a big reflector out there. Amen. And then the sun. Thank God for the sun. I was reading a paper the other day, some science deal, and said that the sun was as closest to the earth as it's ever been in so many years. I don't know how many years. And most amazing thing. Somebody said, oh, it's going to burn. No. If you take the sun away from the earth at just a few degrees, we would burn up. Closer it gets, we freeze up. So it's an amazing thing how that works. You say, how does that work? I don't know. I'm just reading it. Amen. I thought it would be interesting. He praises God for the light and heat. I spoke about the light this morning. Thank God for the light. Thank God that God gives us light. And thank God for the heat. Though we don't know where it's at right now, but thank God for the heat, amen. And he praises God for the rain. And he praises God for the dew, and on. He's just excited about seeing what God has done for him in his life. He praises God for the spiritual nature of man. He praises God for our instincts and our aspirations, our affections, and capacity of man. Isn't it amazing how God has given us instinct? How we just somehow know that's the way it works. Amazing thing. Our aspirations. I'm glad that people have aspirations. I'm glad people want to do something. I'm glad people have something inside of their, my mama said, call their gizzard. Something inside your gizzard. You want to do something, amen. Be a sad day if you just laid around all the time. There's some people who do that, amen. Sit on an old wooden porch and rock in a rocking chair and the old hound dog sleeping next to him, and he's sleeping, amen, and almost catching flies. And fly come in, fly go out, amen. I thank God for people who've got aspirations. They want to do something, want to see something done in life. And Thomas was saying that. He talks about affections. Thank God for affections. Last couple of weeks, my wife and I have taken out our new family, our church, the Price family, And he feels pretty comfortable around me. And so we took him over to a place to eat on Sunday last week. And I don't know, I was doing something at home, and I said, boy, I'd sure like to take him out. But, you know, you don't want to be a pest to the people, and you don't want to, you don't want to outstay your welcome, you know. But I'm just, I just really wanted, but I didn't say nothing. And Adam came up and he said, hey, preacher, what are you doing this afternoon for dinner? And I said, well, I said, where are you going? He said, we're going. He told me where he likes to go. I said, well, we went there last year, but I'm sure I'd love to. Little did I know, the little girl got up this morning and says, can we have pancakes with preacher? Just a little thing. Little Kelsey, can we have pancakes with preacher? And I told him that. I says, you know, I wanted to have dinner with you, but I didn't want to push myself onto you. And he said, well, Kelsey said, can we have pancakes with preacher? And that affection, that little restless, she's like a little wolf. You don't even, she kind of stays away from me. She really wants to see me, but she does, she gets real embarrassed. But the affection, even the little ones. I don't know about you, but I sure like affection. I like people that love me. Don't you love people that love you? Don't you? Just, the affection is such a wonderful thing. To me, it's an infectious infection. I just like being around people. I just like fellowshipping. I like the camaraderie. I like there's a word for it. I just like to entertain people. In fact, the Bible says a preacher is supposed to do that, amen. Given to hospitality. I just like hospitality. I like it. I like you to come over and pop some popcorn. I like to go to your house and eat your popcorn, amen. And or ice cream or whatever you want to put out there. We'll eat it, amen. I ain't going to look at it. You put it out there, I'm going to eat it, amen. And there's just something about the affection. And the psalmist is talking about this affection. And then he also talks about the capacities of men. And thank God for the capacity. I look at our men in our church. And I'm amazed about what you do and what you know and how you can do things. And God bless you. And thank God for that. And that ought to arise in us, a excitement. Say, you know what? Thank God for the instinct and aspiration, the affection and the capacity of men. In the guidance of our individual life and human history, he praises God for that. You know, I don't know where I'd be tonight, if I'd even be here tonight, if it wasn't the influence of God on my life, or the influence of some other man or other woman or child or elder in my life, where I'd be tonight. And to think of the influence that God has on, and to think of the influence that if we would let God have on our life, I guess that's where I'm trying to get. There's a lot of people that just are not willing to let God influence your life. You've got your agenda. You've got your ways about doing things. You've got your ways about going about things. And very few times, if ever, do you ever check them up out of the Bible. Say, well, I don't know if I ought to do that or not. Well, what does the Bible say? Thus saith the Lord God. Really doesn't make it how you feel. It makes a difference. See, we're servants. Servants have no agenda. I am to please my master. That's the whole thing of my life. I'm to please my master. And I'll guarantee you, I'm going to please my master. I look at humans, and I look at my master. Humans, you're going to have to come second, because my master, if he tells me I got to do something, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to leave you in the dust, amen. Right. So should you be that way. Amen. Guidance individual life, and also then in God's guidance in human history. You know, some of you, if not all of you, have questioned some of the human history that's going on right now. Some of the history is being written right now in America and so on and so forth. And you can't imagine, some of you guys can't imagine be without a weapon. hanging on you. Can you imagine that? They're after it. Well, you like it or not, they are. Yes, they are. And, you know, I read a cartoon today. I don't know if you saw it or not. I read a cartoon today. It was a cartoon of two businessmen that were gun salesmen and said, man, what a great year we've had already in January. Great politics. They sold every gun they have, amen. Boy, things are written in history. We just don't know. It's amazing how a man can kill 20 little kids, but doctors kill millions in America. And we pay them, and they take money from our taxes so it can be paid. And some guy goes, and don't get me wrong, that was a hideous, evil, 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 wicked thing that guy did. But I also say it's a wicked, 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 evil, evil thing. The doctor will cut a baby out of their body. And I just read today that somebody in jail cut their baby out of their womb. And now they're up for manslaughter. Why? Because you didn't have a doctor's certificate? Killing is killing. Murdering is murdering. I don't care what you say. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Then he gets excited about the redemption of the world by Jesus Christ. Everywhere in the heights, in the depths, around us and within us, all around the course of the human history, we see the handiwork of God, most and best of all, in the redeeming death of His Son and our Savior, and in life-giving energies of the renewing Spirit God has given to us. And of course, when he writes this, he's writing prophetically. Secondly, the psalmist gives us four divine attributes of God's nature. Number one, his work is honorable and glorious. Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. You cannot say anything against God when it comes to what he has done. It is honorable and it is glorious. It speaks of divine power in verse 6. In this sense, he is saying God's works are great. Verse 2, immeasurable, surpassing all of mankind's puny efforts. There is no one in this world that's ever done anything like God. Secondly, his divine wisdom. He calls it wonderful in verse 4. The keeping of the planets in orbit. That's wonderful. I'm glad they're still hanging up there. Amen. Especially planet Earth. I'd just rather just stay up in orbit, amen. I just don't really want anybody wobbling, amen. So all the fat boys get on one side, I don't want that, amen. If everybody just stay where we're supposed to be. Isn't it amazing how huge the Earth is? Down at camp, I amaze. I sit there on the porch there and I look out to that great big Storm Castle Reef. It's a big place. But it's really puny compared to all the rocks of the Rocky Mountain. But it's a big deal. And you find a rock, maybe 2 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot, you can't pick that thing up. And there's a lot of 2 by 2 by 2 foot stones that make up that huge Storm Castle Reef. Can you imagine what holds it up? We're out at the conferences last week, and there's signs all over. It says warning, tsunami warning. And here we are from this pulpit here to the back of the church. There is the Pacific Ocean. That's how close it is to where we were staying. I can look out my window, and of course I always get the window that goes the other way, man. But if you can look out the window of that other place, that's how far it is, the Pacific Ocean. And they were giving us some briefings there, and talking about some Santa something reef that's out there. It's only like 13 miles out in the ocean. And it's ready to shift. And if that baby shifts, guess what? You're going to have oil. You're going to have water, like happened over in Japan and some of those places. Amazing thing. And so every place you go, you see the tsunami warning. I didn't sleep very good the first night. Second night, forget it, man. I'm going to sleep through it, amen. You know. God has amazingly built this planet. And those winds blowing and the storms coming in, it's just amazing thing. And everything pretty much stays still, amen. I mean, it doesn't wobble. Secondly, he talks about the wisdom of the wonderful God. He talks about the covering of the earth with fertile soil. Can you imagine that everything was like some of these sand dunes and just go back and forth? There's nothing to protect it, nothing to keep the soil there. It's amazing. And the psalmist says, I'm praising God for that. I'm praising God for the fertile soil God has covered the dirt with, amen, or the soil with. Third, the life and growth of trees and flowers and fruit. The life and growth of trees and flowers and fruit. I don't know about you, but I sure like fruit. I sure like fruit. I love the bananas. Do you know there's 37 different varieties of bananas? And it only takes 9 months to put a stalk of banana in, and all of a sudden it'll be growing, and you'll have bananas in 9 months. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. We were down in, were you with me when I bought that great big banana? We were down in the Dominican Republic, and somebody offered to sell us this banana. I forget how many hands it had on it, but just a stalk of bananas. It weighed about 105 pounds. And the guy said, offered it I think he gave it to us. And we're going on the Grand Turk Island. And so I said, sure, we'll take it. Ain't no banana. And I carried that baby on, man, about that big around, carried it on board, put it in there, and we flew into Grand Turk. Grand Turk is a salt island. Nothing grows on that island. And got to that island, and there's a pastor there, and I pulled that big long thing of bananas out. Man, what are you doing? I'm not going to sell this. He said, you ain't going to sell that thing. You might as well just give it to me. I said, I'm going to sell it. Just sell it, and I'll give you the money. He said, ain't nobody going to buy it. I said, well, we'll see. I ain't get this Jew nose for nothing. But anyway, came off that plane, got in a car, went up. And I walked down to this guy at the store, and I said, you want to buy some bananas? He said, how much you got? I said, how much you give me? And we bartered a little bit. And I figured he got the right price. And he said, bring them over. I'll put that price. He said, man, that's a banana. He got all tickled, amen. Whooped out that money for it, amen. And I handed it over to the missionary preacher. I said, there you go. He said, that's good. You better bring some more bananas, amen. I said, only one way. Isn't it amazing how God gives us the fruit. Gives us fruit. Thank God for fruit, amen. You have some people who cut down the trees. Thank God for fruit. Plum trees, cut them right down. Cut them plumb off the ground, amen. Organization of animals. That's an amazing thing. Yes, today my wife and I we went out, we got something to eat, and then I forgot my phone up in my office, so I came back here, and I said, well, I'm going to go down to church and get the mail down here in the mailbox. And I drove by, and all of a sudden I looked in the tree, and there's a pheasant sitting in the tree down here. I put on the binder, backed up, and I want to take a picture, and he flew away. Idiot. Stay there. I want to take a picture of you, amen. But I was amazed. I get so tickled. I got sparrows that come out, and I got more than sparrows. I don't know. I got to start getting my Audubon book out and start studying up what I got there. But I got a whole bunch of different birds. This morning, birds don't come very early. But this morning at 8 o'clock, a little guy came in, and he's gone. He pecked my bird feeder twice, and he was gone. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he saw something, but, you know, I get so excited about seeing them rascals come in and eat feed. And thank God for what God has given us. Imagine, we were driving out of the deal in Oregon the other day, and, man, there must be 100, 200 elk out in the field just standing around, amen. I get so tickled about that. I get so tickled about the deer and the antelope. And I just got to stop. I got to enjoy them, amen. And the psalmist is the same way. And then he said the expanse of the human mind. Isn't our human mind amazing? Most of you, how many got a cell phone? You got one on you right now? Hope you got it turned off. Amen. These phones, aren't they amazing? There is so much more information on this thing that they had to put up the Apollo, put that up on the moon. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. I can take pictures. I can read people telling me what's going on. I can see pictures of people going on. I can read people what they think there ought to be going on. Amen. And Twitter and Bluebird and Blackbird and Blackberry and Raspberries and Angry Bird. Yeah. But anyway, there's one I hate. Never mind. All right, now. I have not mastered that one. It's called Space Something, and they spin around, and how many know how to do that? Would you please come with me and help me, please? Thank you very much. And then he talks now about the expanse of the human mind, and I've said this many times before. I told about the guy that went to Japan. He was so excited about getting a bunch of silk shirts, and he told the man, I want them exactly. He said, oh, you want exactly? Exactly. He said, exactly. And they all had his name, his initials imprinted here. And when he got them back, look, all of them had the same cigarette burn right here. Sometimes people's minds don't expand as far as they should, amen. But he's excited about the expansion. He talks about the fitness of the gospel for the large and the deep necessities of human soul. What depths of divine wisdom are here? All of us have some difficulties in life. All of us have some dark side in our life that we wouldn't want anybody else to know of but ourselves. All of us have some kind of disgusting thing that causes us to just literally self-destruct. But God, and I want to tell you this, I know that I don't know what that is making noise, but I want you to listen to me carefully. But God has the answer. I don't know. Are you doing something with that, brother? Sounds like somebody's up sweeping the roof off. We don't know which way to turn sometimes in our life. And we know if we turn one way, it'll destroy us. If we turn another way, it may not destroy us, it may destroy somebody else. Can you hear that? Turn that speaker off. Can you dump them and start them back up? There you go. I don't know what it was, but I don't like it. I'm going to talk to that sound man tomorrow. But I don't want to be pushed off on this thing what I'm talking to you about right now. There are some things in our lives that just make us go wacky. I guess that's the best way, though. There's some things in our lives that just cause us to more than hiccup. We just don't know which way to go. We don't know how to feel. We don't know what to act. We don't know what to say. And may I encourage you, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the things in your life may not add up to the things that should be in your life. The things you have practiced, the things that you have... Let's try this. Turn this mic off. Still the same. The things you have not conquered in your life, and the things that seem to be unconquerable. It's got to be in the point, just turn the thing off. turn that recording off. I'll live with it. But God promises us that He is divine and that He is faithful in all things. And if He made us, He can take care of us. And sometimes this little, and I say it very carefully, this little demon in us, this little something that causes us to have our life misfire, that causes us to get our mind off what we're really supposed to be doing and causes us some really great pain. It's the same thing that God can use in a great way to help us. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. There are some things in your life that you're going to come up to a stone wall, and I mean, you're just going to stop. You're going to be disappointed by people. You're going to be frustrated by people. You're going to be angered by people. There are people in your life that you think that should be the greatest things in peanut butter and jelly in your life have turned out to be have mold on it. And it's going to cause you some real difficult times. And Satan is going to say, yep, there you are, right there. There it is. Don't ever let somebody else stop you from serving God. The Bible said, I'm to keep my mind and eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind. If I love Him with all my soul, all my mind, and my heart, I should realize that there's a God in heaven that says, I will take care of you. I have your name written in heaven. I promise you I will never leave you nor forsake you. I promise you that I'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. Those are God's promises to you. They sound, you say, oh, preachers, but they're just but cliches. Let me tell you something. You can say what you want, but they're not cliches to me. I am persuaded that when God says, I'll give you the peace that passes understanding, He will give you peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes it's not there when you need it the most, it seems like, but I'm going to tell you, it's still there. It's there. And sometimes it just feels like that you just don't know which way of it. I'm going to say like John said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. He is proven. He is tested for sure. Every once in a while, something doesn't work like it should. Well, there's a reason for that. And it's your job to figure it out why. And if you can't figure out, find somebody that can. And if they can't figure out, bring it to God and say, Dear God, I have tried. So-and-so has tried. I don't know which way to turn. Lord, you have to help me in this thing because I have no idea what to do with it. I may be talking about a teenager. I may be talking about a child. I may be talking about a husband or a wife or a parent or a friend or a family member. You just don't know what in the world. I may be talking about a bill that you have. It's like looking down the gun sight of a weapon. And it is a demon to you. You have no idea which way to go. Let me tell you where you go. You go to the one who made us. And you trust Him. A lot of times we bring a lot of things on ourselves because we're stupid. We're stupid heads, as my grandson calls us. Hey, stupid head. He didn't get very far at home when he called his sister that. But anyway, he called her a stupid head. And there are some things that happen in our lives that we really do some stupid things. And we expect to everybody forgive us right now. Ain't going to happen. You know why? Because we're made out of the same stuff. Mud and dirt. Some people are more gracious than the others. Now the Bible says that we're to tender hearted forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. That's the Bible, amen? But it's pretty hard to get some people to wrap their arms around about that. His divine faithfulness is all in all. God promised never to fail. He gave food to eat, water to drink in the wilderness. He has not allowed seed time or harvest to fail. He adds all needful things to those who seek first the kingdom of God. He is with us in deep water of affliction and does not allow them to overflow us. It is an absolute and consistent testimony of the good of every age that God is faithful, and His faithfulness is rooted every morning. I look at some of you. I've been here a long time. Over 30 and a half years. I've been a long time. I know your stories. I've been at your doorsteps. You've been at the altar. You've been in my office. I know your stories. I heard them. And the things that you told me that you never could make it, you're still here. You made it. Preacher, we just don't know. Have you prayed about it? Yeah, we just don't know. And if we don't get this, if we don't have this, if he don't do this, and she don't do that, and oh. Still here? You said, but preacher, you just don't know. Oh, you're ready. Going down again. Ready for another ride, eh? The ride that you came off, I used to tell my boys, you ain't scared, you ain't having fun. We sure had a lot of fun growing up. And you're scared. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know you don't have the tide chart. You just don't know which way to go. People are at your throat, and the wolf is at the door, and on and on and on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that says that I love you. And everything that happens is not perfect. You know, and I know the old scripture, all things work together for good. It's not everything works together. It's all in combination after it's all over have worked together for good. If you allow God. And very few people allow God. I believe it was Dave Bond or Joe Mark, one of my friend preachers. They were preaching and giving an illustration, and they had a kid come up and he said, now just hold the pen. And he said, I'm going to write something. Just hold the pen. And a stinking kid would not let go of the, would not allow him to write what he wanted to write. And that's so many times in our Christian life, we're unwilling to let God take our hand and write what he wants to write, and very fluently. We're holding him back. Ooh, that may hurt. No, I don't want to do that. God, if you take everything I have, God, if I lose everything I have, they take my car away from me, take my house away from me, if they do this and do that. Let me give you a beautiful illustration. Years ago, my wife and I had moved to Great Falls. We got a new house, and then we moved to another house. One night I'm on base, and I am preaching in the dorm for a bunch of guys on base. My wife and our three boys went over to another family's house, and they were moving houses. You know how you have to have them so clean and all everything? They were cleaning. My wife was on her hands and knees cleaning one of our Air Force kids' house so they can move and not lose any money or whatever you had to do. And I picked them up, and we went home to a house that was opened. Someone had kicked our back door open, walked in our house, stole all my guns, and stole a beautiful Navajo ring that I loved so much. That had turquoise. It had a real silver running right down the middle of it. Beautiful ring. Stole that, tore through everything. I mean, just turned our house upside down. And I said, wait a minute. Lord, I'm taking time out to preach to these guys. My wife's on her hands and knees cleaning. Our kids over taking stuff out. We're working our heart out. What in the world is this? My boys didn't even want to stay down in their rooms anymore. They're scared to death. I mean, I felt like our house got raped. That's what it felt like. We didn't want to stay there anymore. You know, that thing worked together for good? No. All things work together for good. Because now when I hear some people had some problem like that, I feel for them. Boy, my heart is burdened for them. Because I know it. You just don't get over that. His divine goodness as a father. Verse 4. God so ordered our human life that our fatherly kindness, of motherly tenderness, and of friendly affection and dutiful attachments, charity, piety, and generous Christian compassion enwraps our soul and sheds His radiance on our life, and surely there are not the least of His works. We serve a magnificent God. We don't always... Oh, by the way, I got more guns now than I had back then. And they're a lot better. And I probably wouldn't have unless I'd not lost them. You know, Christians, what makes you cry? What makes you cry? When I was a boy, we'd be out in the play yard of the school. How many of you ever yelled uncle? Do they still do that here? I suppose they tap out. I guess that's the word now. But when I was a kid, when some guy got a hold of you and it started to hurt, you said, uncle! I want to ask you, what makes you yell, uncle? What makes you tap out? We're in some drills at the sheriff's office, and the SWAT team, we have some drills, and they were showing us some drills. And one drill is quite interesting, because all of a sudden, you're out. And when you feel you're going out, you got to tap them, and they let up on you. And one of the big boys was working on the instructor, and he tapped him, but the big boy didn't feel him, and he was out. I mean, scared everybody. What's it take for you to cry uncle, to tap out? I guess the question I'm asking you is, how far do you want to go? What kind of Christian life do you want to have? You want to have just a meager life that you just go through life? You just do enough to have God's blessing upon you, and enough that Satan doesn't bother you because you don't do anything? Or do you want to get at it? How much does it take to cry uncle? I've come close. And a few times I have. And probably, on my wonderful way to heaven, I'll tap out and cry uncle a bunch more. The Lord knows what I can handle. Or He'll provide a way of escape. Don't ask for trouble. I promise you that. That's the dumbest thing you know. No, I don't ask for trouble. I got enough of it. If it comes along, just come by me. Amen. What does it take? The psalmist here, he found ways that God was so good to him that God would take care of him no matter what comes. What comes, what may. What is it coming to? Who are you? Have you looked at yourself lately? Have you looked up in the sky and saw those magnificent stars? The other night I was coming out of the house, first star I saw that night. It's always right about here. I saw that old star and I thought, you sure are a long ways from me. But I can still see you. Think of God. He knows the depths of our hearts. He knows our name. He knows our thoughts afar off. That means before we even think anything, He already knows what we're about to think. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. If you take the wings in the morning, I'm there. He watches our steps. He sees everything about it. He sees when trouble's coming. He sees when we're just about to give up. And He makes a way of an escape. Trouble is, there are a lot of people that see the ways of escape, but they don't escape. You just stay there and mire in it. But I won't go into that. May we trust God and everything He says for us. May we every morning give an account and say, Dear God, I need Your help. I cannot go any longer. I just need Your help. You know what? I found out something. He wants to hear from me. You say, but God knows everything. God hears everything. Yes, He does. But He still wants to hear the plea of His child. He still likes to hear it. Can we go have pancakes with preacher? He still wants to hear that. He still wants to hear that. Father, I pray tonight that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be mindful of the fact that this is not a game to You. This is life. We're just going through a bunch of tests. It won't be long. And the test's going to be over. It won't be long. We'll be absent from this body, present with the Lord. And the things we've done good and things we've done bad in this body will be tested. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help us. Lord, to be anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven tonight, be the night they get saved. Lord, as this crazy world is going, how in the world would anybody ever think that they're safe by not knowing You as their Savior? Lord, I pray You'd help now. Bless this time. We love You. And we thank You for this time. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, you know, there's some things in my heart, in my life. Just I'm having a hard time, to tell you the truth. I'm just having a hard time. And God's really speaking in my heart. I just got to trust Him. Nobody can do it for you. You're all on your own. And by the way, you will stand before a holy God someday all by yourself. You're nice, and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm going to open up this altar for you and say, Preacher, tonight I won't get saved. I'm tired of living a lie. Well, you're here tonight and say, Preacher, there's some things I need to take care of. Let's stand. Everyone standing.